Father, thank you for the blessing of going all the way with Jesus. We thank you for your blessing this afternoon and another opportunity to hear the word of God. We pray for your blessing. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things, as always, from your law. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Clap for this amazing group of singers.
Wow.
Hallelujah. They are fantastic. I like them. I like them very much. I like them. Do you like them? We like them. We like them. We like them. We like them very, very much. They think we don't, but they just lie to themselves. We like them very much. Amen. Praise God. Some people don't have anything at all. We have a group that sings, makes sense. We're blessed. We're dancing. Hey, we love them. Amen. All right. You have a Bible verse, the memory verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. All right. Okay. We forgot to go over it the first time, so we have to do it this time. Amen. So Matthew 18, 18 and 19.
Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18, 18 and 19.
Amen. Wow, I think you're on. Let's try one more time. Matthew 18, 18
and 19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18, 18 and 19.
Amen. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Matthew 18, 19. All right. It's exciting. I look forward to learning these verses. It's always very, very powerful. Amen. All right. Now let's get into the Word of God and let's continue from where we left off this afternoon. Amen. We were sharing in the first service today about demons and how to deal with them, how to organize them, how to sort them out. Hallelujah. And we're continuing from there. Amen. So we learned this afternoon that one of the things, or this morning, that one of the things demons would do to people is to lead them into isolation, isn't it? The demons led the man. It says, neither abode in any house. He didn't live in any place where there are people. He didn't belong to a family. He didn't belong to a home. He didn't belong to a place where you can have a constant flow of company. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes you need to watch out for people who do not want to belong to any church. Neither abode in any house. When you ask them, which church do you belong to? They do not have a church they belong to. They have churches they attend. Do you see? But it's a different thing attending church services in different places from belonging to a church. When you belong to a church, it's a different experience because you belong to them. There is commitment, isn't it? But when you do not belong to any church, you attend any church any Sunday and just you keep moving around, the devil understands that when people are not stable, you know, they are vulnerable compared to people who are settled and stable. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if you keep jumping from church to church, it means there is no pastor who is actually responsible for you. All pastors love to have visitors. Every church loves to have a visitor, someone who's just coming for the first time, and at least you help the service to look full, you see. And it's good, all pastors like that. But when you don't belong, it means there is no pastor who has responsibility for you. It means there's no one you can point to and say, this is my pastor. Do you see? There's no one who takes responsibility for you, is praying for you, is looking out for you, is counseling you, is standing in the gap for you. You don't have anybody like that. And that's not a good place to be. Amen. So, and the devils understand that. Demons understand that that is the case. And sometimes when people keep moving around and roaming around, they never become anything. Because to become anything, you need to settle and build up. Do you see? So, they don't realize that to be able to get to the top of anything, you need to find a ladder that is, you know, settled against that wall. Then you can climb and go up. Do you see? But if you take one step here and try to take the next step on the next ladder, you don't really rise and you don't advance in Christ. I personally know a lot of people who have been in the Lord for a long time, long, long time, I tell you. But because they haven't settled and tied themselves up to anything, they have become nothing, you know, and through the years, they have only become more critical because they know everything. So you can't even minister to them. There's no church that is good enough for them. There's no pastor they can receive from. You know, they are just sick, you know. And sometimes I look at them and I wonder, I don't know which church such a person can belong to. You know, maybe they have to belong to an older church where there's a pope, you know. Someone they can respect, you know. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So, then the other thing I was going to say is also how the demons take people to an isolated place. You see, took him to a cemetery where there are people, but the people there don't talk. Do you see? The people there don't talk. They don't have anything to say about anything. And you find also that when people are going or living their lives and, you know, leading themselves to a place where no one can say anything about their lives, you are also now getting into a dangerous place. Do you see what I'm saying? When you don't like rebukes, you don't like correction. You call correction interference. Do you understand? When you have a leave me alone kind of policy, let me do my own thing, you know, you don't want anybody to meddle with your affairs. You don't want anyone to tell you what to do. Do you see? It is a license for destruction. Do you see? You are setting yourself on a path that leads to destruction. The man knew that if he was in town, abiding in a house, you can't be cutting yourself like that. You can't take a thing and just be cutting yourself like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. One pastor was sharing with me how she saw her child, you know, she saw marks on her child's body. You know, which seemed to suggest that she had been cutting herself. And she immediately raised an alarm, brought up the issue, and she confronted the child about it. But if you don't abide in a house and you start cutting yourself, there'll be nobody there to talk to you when you start to destroy yourself. Amen. So one of the blessings of belonging to a family is you have people who budge into your affairs. And that's a blessing. It's not a curse. Tell somebody, it's a blessing to get me to meddle with your affairs. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You bring a strange man into the house. It's a blessing to have someone knocking on it and say, hey, who is that? Say, my cousin. I say, oh, really? We don't know this one. Do you understand? And it's a blessing. It's not a curse. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to have someone who asks you, who's that girl? Paul, who's that girl? Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a whole lot of people who will ask you, who's that girl? You trust Paul. He's got a lot of people who will be asking him that question. Who's that girl? Yeah. Who's on the phone? Yeah. It's like you're just talking to someone. Listen, I'm going to call you. I'll call you back. I'm going to call you back. Because you see LPAC is coming. So I'm going to call you back. Who is that person that you can't talk to when LPAC is coming? Hallelujah. Amen. So it's a blessing. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be each other's keeper. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be each other's keeper. Amen. Right. So the next one is, next point is chapter 9. Chapter 9 is demons help people to destroy themselves. Demons help people to destroy themselves. Now in Mark chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, and always, Mark chapter 5, sometimes we read Mark's account, sometimes we read Luke, okay? So we'll be bouncing back and forth. But Mark chapter 5 and verse 5 says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Amen. The madman of Gadara, fully under the influence of Satan, cut himself with stones. He systematically destroyed himself with stones. This is a very important manifestation of the presence of Satan, and that is self-destruction. Hallelujah. There are many satanic and demonic diseases that are self-destructive. Hallelujah. Now, it is important for us to understand that we have not been designed to be able to happily destroy ourselves, to happily cause our own selves pain. Do you see? In fact, your ability to feel pain, your sensitivity to pain, was given to you by God to help you determine, without the help of anybody else, when you're in the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, sitting in the wrong place, standing on the wrong thing, having your hand in the wrong place. Your ability to feel pain was a gift from God so you can know that you're doing the wrong thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God has given each of us an internal, you know, sensory mechanism, if you like, you know, that helps you determine that you're doing the wrong thing, or that helps you know that your hand is in the wrong place. Imagine if you couldn't feel pain. you know, you're in the kitchen and you feel like leaning on something, and then you drop your hand on the burner, you know, red hot, and your hand is on it, but you can't feel it. Do you see? You will only know it when you start to fall. And that would be because your support is all bent off. Your hand is gone. Do you see? So God gave us the ability to feel pain. And because of that, we do not inflict pain on our own selves. Do you see? Yeah. One of the things we do is you cut yourself, you stop it immediately. You're doing something and it starts to hurt and you stop. So when you find somebody who is doing something that is hurting him but can't stop, then you have found someone who is most likely under the influence of evil spirits. Amen. And that's an interesting one, because it's a very common thing that you find people doing things they know are hurting them, but they can't seem to pull themselves away from it. The reason why you can't pull yourself away from something that is very visibly, obviously hurting you is because you are under the influence of an evil spirit. Hallelujah. Sometimes you find people in relationships that are hurting them. You know, they have fallen in love with their killer. You get it? This guy had probably fallen in love with his killer. He was cutting himself and crying, but cutting himself because he probably enjoyed cutting himself. He didn't like the outcome of cutting himself. He didn't like to see himself bleed. He probably didn't like the pain, the swelling that would occur after that. Maybe 2 to 3 days after that, he can't do anything. He didn't like the pain associated with it. But he couldn't help but cut himself. He couldn't resist the urge to cut himself. He couldn't resist the tendency to cut himself like that, you know. And you see that all the time. You find people who do things they regret, they feel dirty, they feel sick. They say to themselves, I'll never do this again. And then they walk right back into it the very next time. Do you understand? They don't like what they do. They don't like how it makes them feel after they do it. But they can't break away from it. They can't remove themselves from it. You find people who smoke. Sometimes they are smoking and coughing, they're choking on the smoke. You see that they're getting sick from smoking, but they can't stop smoking. Do you see? Yeah. You find people who drink alcohol and get drunk. They fall. They hurt themselves. You know, they are bruised. They don't like it. They crash their cars. They scrape the side of the car. You know, when the alcohol experience, when the drunkenness is gone, you know, when they become sober, they look at the car and they're upset. You know, they're angry that they did that to their beautiful car, you know. So they decide that they're not going to do this anymore. But before long, they find themselves doing exactly the same thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have people who enter relationships, and they fight and fight until the relationship is no more. They just destroy it. They fuss over the relationship and continue to bicker and quarrel over little things, silly things, unnecessary things, and continue to quarrel every time until the relationship is no more. It's like it can't be sustained, you see. So they give it up. Then they go back and sit in a room and cry. And they say to themselves, next time I get somebody, I'm going to keep the person. And then they get another person and repeat the cycle. Wow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These are all examples of everyday things we live with. Everyday examples of people who cut themselves, they hurt themselves, you know, and don't like it, but continue to hurt themselves. They continue to hurt themselves. They cry from hurting themselves, but they continue to hurt themselves in spite of not liking the idea of hurting themselves. Hallelujah. Evil spirits help people to do that. Hallelujah. So that is why we need to watch out. Amen. We need to watch out for these patterns in our lives. Amen. Unforgiveness is one such demonic foothold. Many people do not understand that bitterness is self-destructive. By keeping the hurts and the pain, many people destroy themselves. Demons encourage us to bear grudges and to avenge all who hurt us. God will forgive every sin we commit, but he will not forgive us when we do not forgive others. Many are not aware that maintaining a grudge, we are slowly destroying our own selves. There is nothing more self-destructive than bitterness and hurts. It's amazing that when you are bitter, you are hurting yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Unforgiveness and bitterness destroys the person who has it and leaves the one who caused it alone. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But often the motivation for continuing to bear a grudge or to hold something against someone is from thinking that the person is going scot-free. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. How can the person be free when you are hurting? How can the person just walk around free like that when you are hurting? The person has just hurt you. You see? And he's going around smiling. In fact, as you watch him smile, you get even more bitter. Do you see what I'm saying? You get even more bitter. He has the audacity to smile with other people. And you see him walking around the church. Can you go around and welcome someone for the first time? And you see him just going around welcoming people, even embracing people. Indeed. And he has left you so sour and bitter. And you are just going on and on and on with it. But it is a trick of the devil to get you to look at the wrong place. See, the devil is a master of getting people to look at the wrong place. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. The Bible says the old serpent, he's the old serpent that deceives the whole world. He deceives. Nobody is above him. He would like to deceive anyone who allows him to deceive him. So he's an expert at saying, "Lo, it is here," when it's actually here. He specializes in pointing people to the wrong thing when the action they should be watching is actually right here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the devil likes to tell people that, listen, if you forgive this person, look at him. He's going to enjoy. Do you see? How do you forgive such a person? You are letting him go free. If you forgive him, he will be free. When in actual fact, when you forgive him, you will be free. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But he wants to keep you on the leash. He wants to keep you bitter and keep you sour. And because of that, he keeps pointing fingers in the wrong direction and people keep looking at the wrong place. Hallelujah. When someone hurts you, even if they did something wrong, they are the ones doing something wrong, but you are going to suffer for it. Isn't it? It's like giving someone poison to drink. If you give someone a cup of poison to drink, who is doing something wrong? The one who is giving the poison is the one who is doing something wrong. If someone must suffer for what is being done, who must suffer? The one who is doing something wrong, isn't it? Yeah. But if someone gives you poison to drink, he is the one doing something wrong. But he is the one that is going to be free. Do you see? The one who swallows the poison is the one who dies. Hallelujah. The one who swallows what is given is the one who dies. So even when someone forces you and poison into your mouth, you owe it to yourself not to swallow it. Can I have an amen? You can spit it out. Forgiving people is like spitting out the poison. When you forgive someone, you have refused to allow the thing to enter your system and marinate itself with your spirit. Do you see? You have refused to allow the thing to take control of your life and to dictate how your relationship with that person is going to be. Hallelujah. And it's not easy to forgive people. It's not easy to let go of issues, especially if it's really hurt you. Do you understand? But when you start to think about who benefits when you forgive, it becomes easier. Yeah. That's why, you see, when you start to benefit, well, start to think about what will happen if I forgive him, who is going to benefit from it? You start to think about yourself, it becomes easier. Because we are naturally selfish people. Anything that benefits us is very easy to do. Is it not true? Yeah, once you are going to benefit from it, it's very easy to do. It's easy to sacrifice. It's easy to drive a very long distance to go and get something for yourself. It's just difficult to do it for another person. You see what I'm saying? No matter where you are, it's very easy to drive yourself home. It's when you have to take somebody else home that becomes a problem. So God has given us that natural selfishness. You must use it to your advantage. And that is, think about yourself when you are bitter. Think about yourself. One of the things bitterness does is it cuts off your prayers. The Bible says your prayers are hindered when you are bitter. So when you consider that your prayers are hindered, when the person who caused your bitterness is probably having answers to their prayer. Do you understand? They are getting blessed because either they don't even know that they have hurt you that much. Or even if they know that they have hurt you. Because bitterness is when the person sometimes has even asked for forgiveness, but you can't let it go. It's like the person says, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry is not enough for you. You see what I'm saying? So as the person is saying, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry is not working for you, he has done what he can do. What else can he do except to say, I'm sorry? So he has said, I'm sorry. And then he's gone on and he's moving on. And God has forgiven him. God is blessing him. God is answering his prayers. And you are stuck behind whatever happened. And you are stuck with it, not knowing how to get out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we must be careful not to allow unforgiveness to destroy us. When you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you will destroy yourself. That is why Jesus taught us to pray. In teaching us how to pray on a daily basis, he said one of the things you must always include, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who forgive us. Those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So the rate at which we forgive people is the rate at which you must forgive us. Because the Bible says if we do not forgive other people their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us our own trespasses. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is very important to not destroy yourself. Do not allow unforgiveness to destroy you, because it's evil spirits that want to destroy your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then another element in self-destruction has to do with the church. That churches are often destroyed from within, isn't it? It says a church cannot be destroyed by an outside force. It will only be destroyed from within. Many people think they are helping God as they accuse fathers and senior ministers of various crimes. They feel they are bringing to order the backsliding and deviant men of God. The accuser of the brethren urges them on, and they are anointed from hell to destroy the church. They generate much confusion and division within the church, thinking they are doing the work of God. It's a very common thing that a lot of people speak against the church. Churches are mostly destroyed from within. You understand? They call that an implosion when the thing just collapses from inside it. Do you see? When the thing that is destroying it is actually inside it. Hallelujah. It's not coming from outside against it. I mean, the way we are protected against what comes from outside, very little can destroy a church from outside. The problem with a church is when it turns on itself. When the members of the church start to do the things that destroy the church. That is why yesterday we were reading something from Rick Joyner, where he said the demons were riding on Christians into the church, isn't it? The demons have to get a lift. One of the brothers or sisters in the church has to give the demon a ride into the church. Because without riding on the back of a Christian, you can't seem to enter the church and you can't actually affect the church much. Hallelujah. You can't do much in the church if you're not riding on the back of another Christian brother or sister. Hallelujah. So demons like to ride on Christians, enter the church. And then you see yesterday we went through that list, the top 20 demons that destroy churches, right? The demons of gossip, fault finding, slander, and what? Self-righteousness, jealousy, lust, accusations. All these spirits, they get a ride from a Christian. A Christian, usually a member of the church, long-standing member of the church, gives the demon a ride. And then because the person is committed, the demon gets free commitment and gets a free ride to the church every Sunday to do what he or she is empowered to do. Hallelujah. But we cast out all such devils from our midst. No demon will thrive in our church by the grace of God. All those demons we listed, they will not succeed in our church. The demons of lust and backbiting and gossip and slander, unforgiveness, all those spirits will not have a stronghold in our church by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to watch out for these things. Amen. You need to watch out and recognize it when the devil is using you as an agent. Amen. When the devil seems to want to engage you, you need to watch out and you need to be able to see and recognize it very quickly. Hallelujah. Self-destruction is one of the key strategies of demonic attacks. When the spirit of Satan takes hold of a person, he will often begin to cut himself with stones. The prodigal son is a typical story of someone with a self-destructive spirit. He had everything going for him. He dwelt safely in his father's house. By one decision, he destroyed himself and his future. No external force contributed to his demise. It was all self-inflicted. He virtually cut himself with stones. God raises up fathers and gives them sons. Sometimes the spirit of Satan possesses the sons and they go very far from their fathers. When all is said and done, the prodigal sons are all but destroyed. A prodigal son is a wasteful son. Amen. A prodigal son is someone who just wastes opportunity and blessing. And this story of a prodigal son told by Jesus tells us or gives us an example of someone who destroyed himself by separating himself from the family, by detaching himself from his father, by taking off on going on a wild excursion, experimenting with his life when he could have stayed at home and done very well. Hallelujah. This is an evil I have seen under the sun, and it is common among pastors. May God save us from the spirit that makes us put a knife to our own throats. Amen. May God save us from that spirit that makes us put a knife to our own throats, commit suicide in the ministry. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see a young person developing nicely in the church, and then pride just fills their heart. Do you understand? As we grow up, we need to watch out for pride, because pride is one of the things that attacks younger people. The Bible says that when someone is when talking about appointing of bishops and leaders of the church, and says you must not take a novice. That means someone who's not experienced. And then he says, otherwise he'll be lifted up with pride and enter into the condemnation of the devil. So younger people, inexperienced people, often fall prey and victim to pride. Amen. That maybe you're very young and God is using you. Then you start to feel very proud. Do you see what I'm saying? So we need to be careful and we need to watch out for that, because that will cause you to commit a kind of spiritual suicide and sometimes to sacrifice and forfeit all the great things that God has for you and has for your future. Hallelujah. When you are a son, your heart must be where your father's heart is. When you are a son, you must like the things that your father wants for you. You must like them. Hallelujah. It's a good starting point. By all means, one day you will grow and have the opportunity to choose things for yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, now I'm a grown-up. My mother doesn't choose anything for me. You know, my father is not alive anymore. So, I mean, my mother, she doesn't choose anything for me anymore. Do you understand? But I grew up being chosen for. Everything was chosen for me. Everything. I mean, you name it. Everything was chosen for me. And was chosen for me for a long time. Do you see? What it does for you is it causes you to stay in their favor. Do you understand? It doesn't make a difference, because by all means, you choose, even if they don't choose for you, you will choose something. If I don't choose blue for you, you will choose white or something. In the end, something will be chosen. And whether it's blue or white, it doesn't really make a big difference. But at the end of the day, what happens is that you stay within the favor of your father or of your mother. And when you stay in their favor, a blessing comes upon your life. That one you need. Are you getting what I'm saying? That one you need, and you should not sacrifice a blessing for blue or white. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You should not be so obsessed with having a blue one that you forfeit a blessing. Because whatever blue thing it is, whether it is a blue shirt or a blue tie or whatever it is, it's not going to last. But a blessing will last a lifetime. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A blessing will last a lifetime. So go for the blessing and stop chasing colors in the name of Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. You will realize that this prodigal son really destroyed himself. You know, he confidently stormed out of his father's house, you know, thinking that he was going to become something. I have been a pastor for a few years and have seen many pastors make this mistake. I've seen many people step out, you know, out of the place that God has appointed for them, thinking they're going to be great. In fact, their rhetoric when they step out and the kind of talking that goes on makes you feel like the next big thing is about to happen. Do you see? It's about to happen. You're about to see a ministry, a new wave, you know, a mega church, you know, something wild, something. I tell you, it's about to happen. You just wait and see. You see? And then they start. And then they start. And they start to go on and on and on and on until they disappear. They totally disappear. You don't even hear about them. I tell you, I can think of quite a few people like that, that have gone down the same path. And they all just vanish, until some of them don't even preach anymore. I mean, they don't even preach anymore. I mean, what I mean is even to be in the church just to make an announcement, like Lord was making the announcement today. Do you get it? Even Lord is even greater. Yeah, I'm talking about people who are reverends and pastors and, you know, supposed to be ministers. You get it? Yeah. Just to stand somewhere and just to say that, what does he say today? If you want to give by text, then he would do this. Yeah. I mean, even just to have that to do in the house of God, they don't even have that to do. Do you understand? So, Brother Lord, you are blessed. There are many people who wish they'll be like you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It's suicidal to step out of the place where God has appointed for you. And one of the spirits the devil uses to evict people from their place of appointment is impatience.
Yeah.
Just not being patient. Do you understand? Not being patient.
Yeah.
That if you're patient, eventually you will have everything that you're looking for. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just be patient. Tell somebody, be patient. Be patient. Yeah, tell them you need to be patient. Amen. You need to take your time and be patient. Hallelujah. And God will give you. You will have what you want. Amen. You will have what you want. You will have what you are looking for. You will have your ministry. You will have a church. One day you will have a church. You will be tired of preaching. Yes. That day is going to come when you just call somebody and say, look, preach for me.
Wow.
Hallelujah. That day is coming. Amen. Just be patient and humble yourself and stay under the covering of God. Don't destroy yourself. Amen. Don't destroy yourself. Stay under authority. Amen. Stay under authority. Whoever God has appointed for you to serve under, stay under that person. And at the appropriate time, God will lift you up. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are we blessed tonight?
Amen.
Is it enough preaching? I think it's enough, isn't it? Yeah? All right. Okay. So I think it's enough preaching for the evening. Hallelujah. Right. Wendy, what do you think? It's enough, isn't it? It's good. Hallelujah. If Wendy says it's enough, then it's enough. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. So let me just read these two verses I find here. John 16 and verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. Do you see? Yeah. That there are people who will abuse you, even to the point of killing you and thinking that, no, we are helping the church. But they're actually destroying the church of God and destroying the church. Amen.
Amen.
Well, stand to your feet and let's bring this. The other verse? Okay. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Isn't it? That is how we can prevent the church from imploding. That's how we can prevent the church from being destroyed from within. And that is to mark those who cause divisions and confusion in the church. And it says, avoid them. Don't make such people your friend. Hallelujah. If you have people that you call who always have something bad to say about the church, who always have some announcement to make about what was not done right, or how they were not fairly treated, you know, how they were not properly treated and things like that. When someone has something like that to say, you have to say to them, listen, apply forgiveness. Apply forgiveness. Apply forgiveness. Forgiveness is... One time I was talking to somebody and the person started narrating her story. I said, look, if you like, can I tell you the end? Let me just tell you the end. I don't know how long it is. But no matter how long it is, there's only one solution. So I can rather tell you the answer now. So you start, use the rest of the time to apply it. It's either that or I just give you the time and use it to finish saying it. Yeah, and then you still get the same answer. Because look, no matter what he did, what do you think the answer is? Look, no matter how you go over the issue and you want to explain in detail, listen, look, you know, see, it would have been enough if he had even done it on a Tuesday. But this one, it was even, look, it was on my birthday. Yeah, look, if it was on a regular day or on your birthday, the answer is still the same. So I agree that it hurts more that it happened on your birthday. But it doesn't change the answer. The solution is still the same. Do you understand? Yeah, it's still the same. You get it? It's like someone who is dirty. Whether you are just dirty from just some few stains on your body or you have been dug out from the pit, the answer is still a shower. Do you understand? So there's nothing like you are so dirty we need acid. There's nothing like that. You are so dirty, you still need a shower. You just have to go into the shower and start. So instead of talking a lot about the issue, you see, and I can understand it. Sometimes talking a lot is therapeutic. But I'll speak. So long as you know that you are just speaking for refreshment, then just go ahead. You get it? And I really don't mind at all. I can listen to you. So long as you know that this talking is just for refreshment. Yeah. Because sometimes you just need to talk. You get it? Yeah. So you just listen. And you just listen. In fact, one day I was telling someone something. It happened to me. I was telling someone something. And as I was telling him, it occurred to me after a while that, you know, I've been telling this guy this thing for a while. And he hasn't said anything. It's like he's not said anything new. He's not. Then I realized that all that the guy was doing was just allowing me to talk. So I stopped. At that point, I stopped. Yeah. Yes. It was one of the other bishops. As I was telling him about this situation, just talking, and he was just on the phone. And I saw that he wasn't really saying anything, just adding anything, because I think he was expecting me to know that, you know what, you can either stop now and forgive, or continue for refreshment. Tell somebody, you can either stop now and forgive, or continue for refreshment. Yeah, but when it's over, the answer is still the same, and that is to forgive. That is the only solution that God has given us for dealing with issues. Amen. So you choose when you want to forgive, whether you want to do it now and be free, because when you start forgiving also, you will see that it's a process. And so the earlier you start, the better. But if you think you need the refreshment so bad, continue. And when you finish, we will still apply forgiveness. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Let's pray. Bow your heads, everybody. And ask God to deliver you from any self-destruction. Drawing tendencies that you may have, that perhaps there's something about you that you are not aware of which is destroying you, that you are your own enemy. Sometimes your own laziness is hurting you. It's because of your laziness that you're not finding a better job. It is because of procrastination, postponing things all the time, putting it off till tomorrow, till next week, something you can do now. These are all self-destroying activities and actions that keep our lives retarded and keep us from getting to the place where God has appointed for us. So I want you to pray. What is it about you that is destroying you? We're not talking about an enemy from outside. We're talking about an enemy from within. Something from within yourself. A character trait, a behavior pattern, a way of talking, a way of relating and dealing with people, a way of doing things that is destroying your work. You never complete anything you start. You never do things well enough. You're always doing things in halves and in parts. You start, spend a lot of money on it, and get to a point somehow you just lose interest, and then all the money you spent has gone down the drain, and before we know it, you've started something new. And every time you're starting something new, and this pattern is leaving you broke. You've tried to do so many things, but you don't have anything. You have not accomplished or completed anything because you never finish anything you start. This is your own behavior. This is your own character and your own behavior setting you back in life. But God wants to deliver you from such a thing in the name of Jesus. Pray about it and say, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from myself. Deliver me. Deliver me from myself. Don't leave me at the mercy of myself, because I know that when I'm through with me, there will be nothing good left with me. But you can help me. I turn my life over to you. I deny myself. I deny myself. I deny myself. I deny myself, and I take up my cross to follow you. Yes, I say no to myself. Give me the strength, Lord, to say no to oversleeping, to say no to laziness, to say no to postponing things, to say no to procrastination, to say no to my selfish tendencies, Lord, to say no to myself, to say no to myself in the name of Jesus. Give me the strength, Lord. Give me the strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me, me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing it one more time. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour, every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Oh, bless me, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to you. You know, the Lord is ministering to me about someone here, and the Lord is telling me that you're destroying yourself through eating. The way you eat and what you eat. You're eating stuff that you're fully aware are not good for you. But you're still doing it. It's a kind of self-destruction. At least we know from the Bible that there are two instances where the devil tempted people with food. One of them was in the Garden of Eden to make them eat something they were not supposed to eat. And the other one was to try to get Jesus to turn stones into bread. That it is possible that some of your cravings and some of the desires you have are actually stimulated by evil spirits who are out to destroy you, to make you sick. That is the devil's aim. His aim is to kill you. His aim is to get you come down with a stroke, to become diabetic. His aim is to destroy you. But God is setting you free. God is opening your eyes today in the name of Jesus. You will no longer be a victim of eating. You will no longer be a slave to food. Amen. in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not be a slave to your cravings. In the name of Jesus Christ. God is giving you power right now to overcome that. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you again for your blessing. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.